Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to grow your cleaning company. If you're committed, you can go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You get all my best stuff absolutely free for owners who want more out of their cleaning business and more out of their life. Today, we are chatting with Kieran Reed from the Office Cleaners in good old Canada. The Office Cleaner have been providing commercial office cleaning janitorial services to small and medium-sized businesses in the Brantford area for just 6 months, and he's loving it so far. So you can tell he's only been in 6 months because he's still loving it. If you want to reach out to Kieran, you get a hold of him and his team at www.theofficecleaners.ca. Kieran, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
What's up, Cleaning Nation?
So glad to have you on the I was going to say phone call, but show. I'm glad to be speaking with you this fine morning, my friend.
Glad to speak with you as well. Thanks for having me on.
So I love hearing stories of guys and gals that have just started out. 6 months. Tell me how you got into the business and tell me what the first 6 months has looked like for you.
To be honest with you, I was the reason I just got into it was actually to kind of create a business for some family members. Just because I had some family members who needed work. So I was like, yeah, you know, low barrier to entry. It's a service-based business. I looked at the competition in the area. Just in regards to things like marketing, it really wasn't very tight. So I just thought, you know, it's an easy opportunity to just go in, take advantage, and then create a business that's got a continuity-based income that's reliable. So, you know, I can provide an income to some people I care about. But then, you know, at the same time, it also provided me a nice income as well. So I really can't complain about it. It's been really great.
Well, in the 6 months that you've been kind of in operation, how many family members did you want to employ and how many have you employed?
I have three family members employed, but I don't even consider them employed. Like they wouldn't even be considered. I don't even consider them my employees. I just essentially made some of them partners and gave them a stake in it so they could benefit from it as well.
Got it. So is it limited to family now, or have you hired any outside help so far?
Nope. Now we've got four additional employees.
Nice. So in 6 months, you went from just a hope and a dream to three family members working. And are those family members full time, or are they doing other things as well?
Oh, they're full time.
Awesome. And then you've got four additional cleaners?
And then four cleaning staff. Yeah, four cleaning staff.
Awesome. And then so what's your role? Are you full-time in this, or is this a part-time endeavor for you?
No, I mean, yes and no. I just generate the leads. I do all the sales and I do the marketing. But really it doesn't, and I kind of just talk to them about the overall, like, just like the strategy and work on developing and growing the business. And after I just kind of set it up, I just say, here's what you got to do, go implement it. Tell me how it works. And then we'll kind of sort it out from there. So, we've already began implementing a lot of processes. It's going really, really well. But I mean, aside from that, really, I just kind of oversee everything. You know, it doesn't really take very long, a couple hours a day, if that.
Okay, so I could go right into the coaching session where I help you out with a piece of your business and infuriate all of Cleaning Nation, or I could ask the obvious question, man, tell us about how you went from zero to enough work to employ seven people in just 6 months, especially since you do the marketing and advertising. I know they're going to want to hear, how'd you do it, man? What can you share?
There's a few things. First of all, I would say just like, you know, like be really, really, really specific about your niche.
Smart.
You know, it's better to be something to someone than, you know, nothing to everyone. So, you know, I picked the absolute easiest niche I could jump into, which was office cleaning. I didn't want to mess around with houses. I didn't want to mess around with industrial warehouses or factories or restaurants. I just picked something that was easy. that would have a low. Then I picked the easiest name that somebody would look for and search for, which literally spoke to them. Also something that would rank highly in Google. Then I found an incredible Google AdWords, just this guy in Thailand who is just amazing at Google AdWords. Set up a joint venture with him where he runs all my Google AdWords for me and I pay him 10% ongoing in perpetuity. So he generates me clients on a continual basis. I just really took some time, about 3 days. I really just got our SEO into order. Joined a trade organization that allowed me to generate clients to get some credibility like right out of the gate. Then what I did was I did basically an affinity letter. So I got them all to give me testimonials, wrote a direct mail letter, sent it to all their neighbors, basically saying, hey, this is what your neighbor says about me. This is the type of work we do. We'd love to come and work for you. Picked up a bunch of clients and we just kept leveraging from there. So yeah, it's pretty.
All right, well, first of all, Cleaning Nation, that little, I don't know what that was, a minute and a half was a really, really good overview on how to attract clients at any level, right? Obviously, I like what you're doing, Kieran, from zero to wherever you're at revenue-wise now, but golly, that works for sure. So all right, it sounds like most of the efforts that you've been doing have been getting clients online through paid and organic traffic.
We do get a lot. We also get, you know, now we're getting quite a few referrals. To be 100% honest with you, I had to shut down the ads campaign because I can't handle the quotes. Like today is all about figuring out staffing requirements because we simply just cannot manage the work that we have. It's far too much.
Beautiful. All right. That's awesome. So I'd love, and I'm constantly talking to people. The loneliest number in advertising is one. You don't want to just have one thing going, but
second
it sure
worst
is nice.
Number is two.
It's, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we could do the math down the road, but I love it when you can kind of hit a home run with one of your first things. Cause you know, a lot of times I have to coach people to be patient. And I love that you said you're kind of working direct mail. So it sounds like you built from zero to where you're at, mostly on SEO and paid traffic. Now you're starting to transition to referrals. And if that's your gig and that's what you do, I'd imagine you're going to start adding more bullets to your gun in terms of different ways customers can find you.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, awesome. Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love a lot of that stuff's the stuff that I preach, but it is so nice to sit back, have a cup of coffee and let the guests do the work. So nicely done, Kieran. All right. That said, let me bring some value to you, Earl, my friend. How can I help you today? What one specific thing would you like some help with?
Well, what I would like some help with, the only thing that I am actually having a little bit of a hard time with, and this is because, you know, my background is not, my background is actually in, you know, marketing, and it's not in the actual operations of the cleaning business. So there's certain things that I don't know, and I've been looking to try and find answers, but to be honest, I haven't really found anything that is, you know, direct and precise enough for what I'm looking for. But what I'm trying to do is I am essentially trying to remove myself completely from the business where I can just look at the strategy, the overall vision, building it, growing it, and so on and so forth. But what I am still doing is I am still stuck doing the quoting process. And the reason I am is because I'm going into businesses, I'm doing the quote, and then it's based on essentially what I believe it to be worth. And I've tried to set up different models based on square footage, number of fixtures, all different types of things. I've been testing and using a lot of trial and error. However, I'm going into buildings and I'm saying, okay, I'm quoting this, and then I'm getting back and I'm doing the math. And I'm like, no, I am not charging enough here. I know it needs to be sometimes 50, 60, 70% higher than it is. And sometimes I'm going in and I'm saying, okay, no, it needs to be slightly lower just because of the fact I know, like, I mean, I would essentially, that's when I feel like I would essentially be taking advantage of a business if I was to charge them that amount because it's just simply outrageous. So I'm finding that there's such a large gap in between the pricing. And I want to be able to systematize it so I can have other people go out and do it for me, as opposed to me having to always go out and kind of based on my own knowledge of what I see there. I would like to be able to put a system in place where I can see consistency across the board and I can have 4, 5, 6 people out quoting at a time and be consistently seeing the same the same results across the board, or the same types of the same types of bids.
Okay, so you kind of opened a nice can of worms for us to jump into. But so the big thing is, okay, so first we'll talk a little bit of some tactical number stuff, and then we'll talk a little more conceptual how this thing could look. So first of all, are you having trouble creating a system to know how many hours it will take, man hours it will take to clean the building? Or do you have that piece done? You just want to know how to work, translate that, or have a system to translate that into a price?
Well, that's one of the things. So like if I'm sending them in, like I said, I'm relatively new to the business. So I'll send somebody in and I can tell, like, you know, it's going to take somebody, if it's, you know, all tile, it's going to take somebody a completely different amount of time than if it's all carpet. So, I mean, I'm still kind of working that part out, but, it really is kind of across the board. Like, just to, I really just like, it's a very, it, to me, it's obviously the bidding part is, you know, that's where the determination of how much money is made in the business is. I really am just kind of asking you for really as much knowledge as I can suck out of you in regards to it.
All right, let me give you a big overview that'll hit most of the key points, and then I can kind of give you some resources, because obviously that's a much longer than a 20-minute conversation to dive super deep. But I'll hit the high points and then give you some resources, and Cleaning Nation some resources to go to if you really want to dig down and get granular. So high point is, and I'm going to do a disclaimer right off the bat, and from the marketing background you've given me, I'm guessing you're going to agree with this strongly. Externally, I never like residential, commercial, I don't care. I never talk about hours per dollars per hour. There's never, well, we're $30 or $50. None of that. Never with the client or the prospect. External conversation is always, what is your pain? What are we solving? What result do we want in your life? And here's the flat amount it costs to get that result. That's always the external conversation. That said, internally, it's all about dollars per hour. So please don't get that confused where not just you, Kieran, but Cleaning Nation. A lot of times people say, hey, how come you're always talking about never talk dollars per hour, but then when asked how to bid, all you talk about is dollars per hour. That's an internal conversation, an internal calculation, never external communication or marketing. That said, the first and foremost thing that you've got to do, and this is, well, and we'll get to this, you or somebody else has to do that you've tasked, is figure out how many hours it's going to take to clean the building, man hours, right? So how many, whether it takes three people 1 hour or one person 3 hours, that's still three man hours. So the first thing that you do is you've got to get that figured out. And at the end, I'll kind of give you some resources of how to do that. But again, we can't dive that deep into, okay, well, floors take this long per square footage and medical facilities are this and warehouse, you know, that we can't do that. The one thing I will say is I'm not a fan of square footage pricing. I think that's a great way to lose your shirt. I do like it for dummy checks where, you know, a lot of times when I do a bid, especially a larger bid, I want a second pair of eyes, or if I've got an employee doing a bid, whether it's me or somebody else, I want a second or even third pair of eyes, depending on the size of the bid, just to check it. Because you make a miscalculation, just like you noticed, Kieran, you can really kind of get off base kind of quick. So the only reason I use square footage pricing is to do a dummy check on my thing to be like, all right, I came up with $1,500 a square foot. I know this type of building usually goes for 15 cents a square foot. Am I close? Does that? And if I'm way off and I go, okay, maybe something's wrong. So that's the only time I ever use square footage pricing is actually a dummy check just to make sure, okay, am I in the right ballpark? But I would never bid actual real American or Canadian dollars on, here's the square footage, time X amount, there's your bid. That's insanity to me. So that's the first thing, is you've got to know how many hours it's going to take. The second thing is, and this is where you can really create a system, Kieran, and Cleaning Nation, is, you know, zero, and I'm just being real simple. You have to actually think it through a little more, but 0 to 10 hours, we're at $60 an hour, 10 to 30 hours, and this would be per month, 10 to 30 hours, we're at, you know, $50 an hour, 30 to 100 hours, we're at 40, some sort of tiered system where the fewer hours they need you for, the more expensive it is, because obviously there's, you know, you've got to go there and pay drive time and get set up and all these kind of non-paid activities. So that, Kieran, is how you can kind of, once you create that matrix for your business of, you know, the more hours there are, the less the hourly rate is, and then put some minimums around it, right? You might say, hey, we're not going to do any building for less than $300 a month or whatever that works for you. I actually like margin better. I'm not going to do it for less than $150 in margin or whatever the case may be. So you put some minimums around it. Maybe you only go to clients that want at least three times a week or at least one time a week, whatever the case may be. You put some, so first is the minimum, second is the this many hours equals this hourly rate, and then all you have to do is take those hours it's going to take, you kind of plug it into the formula and you've got yourself a bid. Any questions or thoughts before I go on, Kieran?
No, that was amazing. Okay. That was perfect.
Cool.
I got it.
So that's the tactical side. Let's talk a little more philosophical, because I think this is going to bring probably more value to you, Kieran, and maybe to Cleaning Nation as well. The one thing that I get a lot of, I don't say confusion around, but questions on, is the difference between, a lot of times cleaners want to put, they want to, and I totally get this. I'm so lazy. I'm such a systems guy. I always want to have, do as little as possible and have the systems do 98% of the work and humans do 2% of the work. So I'll never fight you on that. Comma, that said, I don't like, I like systems for the sales process, but it is a process, it is a system, and it does require human beings. And the way I teach it, if you do it properly, 30% of the sale is done on the phone before you even get there to decide, A, is this a client that I want to talk to? Does it make sense for us to go out? Can you just disqualify them right off the bat? If you can't disqualify them, you set up what I call ground rules of what's going to happen when you go out. And if those ground rules aren't set, you don't do the appointment. So that's 30% of the sales process. And a lot of people have $10 an hour cleaners or receptionists or whoever happens to be near the phone having that conversation, which is crazy talk. The next probably 60% of the sales process is before you do the job walk, before you do the bid. When you go out, you reaffirm those ground rules, you talk about what's going to happen, you make sure you have their budget, you know what their pain is, you understand the decision-making process because you've set it up properly. All the decision makers are on board right there with you, not, well, we're going to turn this into Bob and he'll decide. Bob needs to be there if you're going to go out. So long story short, done properly, before the bid's given, 90% of the sales process has happened. So I don't like estimators going out, certainly not answering the phone, definitely not doing the bidding process or that conversation. So we just got to be very clear on bidding or estimators can be in the office automated when the salesperson comes back with, hey, here's how many square feet it is, here's how many hours it is, and the estimator can crank out the estimate. I'm fine with that part being systematized, but I never want a receptionist or a cleaner answering the phone and setting an appointment. That needs to be a salesperson. And again, if you're the owner and that salesperson is you for the first 6 months or 9 months or $500,000 in revenue or whatever metric you want, fine, but it needs to be a salesperson, whether it's you or a paid salesperson, not a cleaner. Same thing when you go do a job walk. That's not an estimator's job. Please do not send an estimator unless he's a salesperson that knows how to estimate. That's all part of the sales process. Any thoughts or input there?
No. I was gonna say yeah. No, the two people that I I'm trying to train right now, they really don't know anything about cleaners. They're just amazing salespeople.
Yeah, and that's what you want. And again, they do need to be able to, the one non-sales skill they need is to estimate hours. That's all they need. Anything else you don't care about.
Sounds good. Can I just ask one quick follow up?
Hit me.
So when I'm breaking it down on a when you're actually breaking it down in the bid. So we got a pretty comprehensive proposal. But when you're actually breaking it down to show them, how are you breaking it down for them in the actual proposal, by the hours, by the tiered hour system?
Great question. And never with the hour. It's always, and that's why I have to do such a good job discovering their pain. That's all I talk about is your
in
pain
the
was,
the
say, I'm sorry, say again.
In the proposal?
Absolutely in the proposal. Your pain was XYZ that cost A to solve. And of course, you're going to give a little breakdown. You're not trying to be deceptive or hide anything. You're just not focusing on it. So as few words as possible I can use to the work I'm actually going to do, I'll use it. Certainly, I have to explain what we're going to do, but I don't want the focus to be there. So I do want to be specific as to what we will do and won't do, so you don't get scope creep and all of a sudden it's like, oh, can you do this? This is extra. So be as clear as possible on what you will do and won't do, but that's not the focus. I never put hours in there. That has nothing to do with the price of tea in China. If I can come in and wave a magic wand and have your entire 50,000 square foot facility clean and perfect and sparkling in 1 second, you don't care. If it takes me 30 hours, but it's all when you're closed and I've got 50 man hours in here, and you don't care. The customer has that doesn't affect them in the least. So I don't talk at all about how long it's going to take. I only break down, here's exactly what we're going to do, here's exactly what we're not going to do, which is just as important. And then I move on. That's like 7% of the bid. 93% of the bid is, let's talk about your pain. Let's talk about what's important to you. Let's talk about our guarantee. I went to your website and saw that you have a guarantee. Solid done. I'm always encouraging Clean Nation to do that. And they're always terrified. So that's, it's 93% about the benefit and the result to them, and 7% around here's what we're going to do and here's what it costs. And never Perfect. Here's how long it's going to take.
Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Hey, hopefully that was awesome. You're the kind of guy I could talk to for an hour and a half, but we try to keep it about 20 minutes, and I want to make sure to give you the opportunity to get back to Cleaning Nation. So let's hit the lightning round. I'm going to give you three quick questions. You, I have no doubt, are going to give me three amazing answers. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Probably right after the biggest mistake I ever made in business, and it was good marketing can't beat bad economics. If you focus on, you have to focus on excellent accounting and economics in your business, because you can sell all you want. You can sell as many, but if the economics and the accounting is not in your favor, you simply cannot win. And it is much easier to increase your profits by managing expenses than it is to increase your profits by making more sales, because along with sales comes incremental costs along with that. Things like staffing, things like vehicles, all of these things have to go along with your profit. So it's always moving at a smaller incremental rate, where if you're just simply managing your costs, you're being ruthless with them and you're taking care of your business. You're not buying the best of everything. You're focusing on really keeping it lean and mean, as they say. You can't lose. Bad economics. Couldn't agree more.
So many times I hear people saying, well, I know I'm not making much money now, but if you can just get me to $1 million, you know, they're doing $200,000 or $300,000, if you just get me to $1 million, I know I'll be rich. I'm like, no, you won't. You'll just have the exact same problem you do times five. So thank you for saying it the way you said it. That's awesome. Question two, and you already alluded to it. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business?
The cleaning business, the biggest mistake I made was we started getting tons and tons of calls from outside of slightly outside of our service area. But as that happened, once again, costs went up and it hit me immediately. Once again, economics, and I had to scale it back, focus on my niche. I dominate one niche, then move into another one. Dominate one area, then move into another one. Don't try to be everything to everybody. Don't try to work everywhere. Don't try to offer every service. Do one thing, do it well, guarantee it, stick to it, and you will win.
That sounds awful familiar, almost like something I would say. Kieran, it's almost like you're a shill I've got on the company to say my stuff. Thank you so much. I couldn't agree more. Last question. What's one idea owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today to improve their lives or their business?
You know, I'll give you two really quick ones. The first one I would say, you know, don't do it. Like, if you're not good at something, find somebody that is. Joint venture with them. Have them do the work for you. You know, you can't be good at everybody. If you're going to be a good owner, if you're going to be a good manager, if you're going to be a good entrepreneur, you've got to learn to leverage other people's strengths. And this is something I had a really, really hard time with. You've got to be willing, like, pay people based on performance. Be willing to give them some of the profit so they can essentially benefit from being in a business relationship with you. And the second thing I would say is, once again, it's more conceptual, but it can be very practical as well. Like, you go over it all the time, but at the same time, man, like, be something special to somebody, niche your business. And make sure the second that they see you, they know exactly who you are and why you're the right company for them, as opposed to saying, I wonder what that company does.
Gosh, with my big mouth, I rarely say this, but Kieran, I could not have said that better myself. Thank you so much for sharing and joining us. Thank you for your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know the Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Kieran's show notes page and discover everything you're going to need to grow your cleaning company, it's at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.